Our reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has ever overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out, so that you can endure it. I wonder what, if anything, you've given up for Lent this year, and how is it going a couple of weeks in? Now, I've given up something fairly trivial this year, crisps. I knew that I was starting to eat a bag a day and that it had become a little bit of a habit for me, hence giving up for Lent. What I'd not appreciated is actually how hard it was going to be to resist the temptation of the one enormous bag of crisps that I left in the cupboard. It's fitting then, particularly for those of us who have given up something for Lent, that we have this encouraging message from Paul to the Corinthians. Of course, it's just as applicable outside Lent as it is within Lent. When he wrote it, as far as we know, there were no Lent traditions, and Paul was providing advice for everyday life, simple as that, the temptations that come along on a daily basis or on a regular basis. And he gives just a few examples, which were almost certainly big examples for the Christians in Corinth at the time, hence referring to them. And he picked out idolatry, sexual immorality, and grumbling. This was never meant to be a comprehensive list of temptations that come our way. It wasn't even meant to highlight the most problematic of the temptations. They are just an insight into a few of the common temptations that we face and that the Corinthians were facing. By listing these three, Paul uses them to point back to the dire consequences for us if we allow ourselves to give in to this self-destruction. And that's what it is when we give in to temptation. He goes back to the Old Testament accounts from Exodus and what happened to the Israelites who turned from God in order to find the pleasures within temptations. And he does that by way of warning us against giving in to temptation. We can learn from their experience, in other words. When the Bible talks about temptation, it means the compelling desire to disobey God so that we can simply do what we want. Sin is what happens when we give in to those urges. Because God loves us and only wants the best for us, Matthew 7 verses 9 to 11 to name but one place to find the evidence of that, failing to resist temptation and doing our own thing rather than God's will is never, ever going to turn out well for us. While we may have to live with the difficult consequences of some of the wrong decisions we make, thankfully, a consequence is no longer the loss of eternal life. It's no longer separation from God, because Jesus' sacrifice on the cross paid in advance for our sins. But there's a warning from Paul in that respect too, when he writes in verse 2 and 3, they were all baptized, ate the same spiritual food, and drank the same spiritual drink. Paul is highlighting that the outward religious acts of being baptized and participating in the Eucharist don't serve as some kind of protection from sin and its consequences, or from temptation for that matter. And that appears to be, from what's written, how the Israelites were treating those things. And do you know what? This would be turning those really sacred acts into nothing more than acts of superstition, much like someone would touch wood for luck, something, by the way, that we have absolutely no need for when we have God in our lives and the ability to ask for his help through prayer. I do know people, as I'm sure you do, maybe you're one of them, that approach both baptism and communion and other religious practices as just-in-case acts, bargaining with God. If I have my baby baptized, all will be well. Or maybe you look at others who haven't had the baby baptized and think, all will not be well. If I go up for communion, I'm taking out an insurance policy with God just in case I happen to sin, or even so that I can sin. But this did not work out well for the Israelites, and that's because they lacked faith and trust in God. The outward religious act had lost their true meaning, and therefore they became meaningless. Paul urges the Corinthians and us to stand firm in faith, trusting in Christ our rock, verse 4. Trusting in Christ our rock, not in the outward religious practices, not in superstition. Paul makes clear, and don't we know it, and I certainly do, that we cannot rely on our own strength to resist temptation, only on God. Verse 12, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. That line is also a warning about becoming complacent when we do feel like we're doing okay. The really good news in this part of the letter to the Corinthians is that in God's strength, we will never be tempted beyond what we can bear. And please don't read into that, that God is the one who tempts us. Absolutely not. It is not in God's character to do that. When Jesus himself experienced his time of temptations in the desert, it is very clear that temptation is not of God, but of the devil. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 13, we read this. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. No, the meaning of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, the last verse of today's reading, is that when we place our faith in God and look to him for strength, he provides the get out. As an inevitable part of life, the temptations will come along and it will be hard. My crisp example was poor, really. It's a very weak example of temptation. The consequences are not going to be dire if I eat crisps. But that's not why I've given them up. I've given them up to really focus on God and what Lent is all about this year, as I hope you have if you've given up something too. It's hard, but God will both give us the strength to resist temptations, including the really, really challenging ones, and he will give us freedom from the eternal consequences when we slip up and when we do give in to temptation. We need to stand with our feet on the rock that is Christ.